You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Midrash of the Week podcast. In honor of the upcoming holiday of Yom Yerushalayim, I decided to choose a Midrash today that is connected to the city of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, as you know, has many, many names. It's 70 names, according to one count in the Midrash. I'm not going to speak about all 70 names today, but I am going to speak about two. And the two names that I'd like to take a look at are names which appear in for the first time, although we'll see they are mentioned other places as well, in Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud Bet. Now the context, just to give you a little background, is the law that when Am Yisrael would enter the land, they would no longer be able to bring korbanot wherever they want, and any mizbeach that they want. Rather, they could only go Ela Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place, capital P, that Hashem will choose, meaning where the Beit HaMikdash will eventually be built, and bring the korbanot there. At other times in Bnei Yisrael's history, there was what is referred to as Heter HaMamot, the leniency of being able to bring korbanot at Bamot, meaning other Mizbachot, not in the Beit HaMikdash. But this will no longer be the case when they enter the land, right, at a certain stage after they enter the land. And the Pasuk says, we'll start with Pasuk Chet, Lo ta'asun k'chol asher anachnu osim po hayom, isha kol hayashar be'inav, right? You no longer will be able to do like we do nowadays, everybody doing whatever they want, meaning bringing korbanot wherever they want. Pasuk tet, ki lo vatem ad ata el haminucha ve'el hanachala asher Hashem Elohecha noten lach. Right? Why, until now, was this law not in place? Because you had not arrived el haminucha ve'el hanachala, to the resting place and to the inheritance. Right? We'll get back to that in a moment. Right? You had not yet arrived at the menucha and the nachala, which Hashem is giving to you. V'avartem et ha'yarden v'yashavtem ba'aret asher Hashem elokecha manchil etchem v'haniach lachem mikol oyveichem misaviv v'yashavtem betach. Right? And you will cross the Yarden into the land that Hashem is giving to you. V'hayam makom asher yivchar Hashem elokechem bo l'shachken shemo sham shama taviu et kol asher nochim etavei etchem olotechem v'zivchechem v'chulei. Right? And the place which Hashem will choose to have His name dwell there, that is where you will bring all of your korbanot. Right? So back to Pasuk Tet. The Pasuk says, up until now, this rule is not in place. Ki lo vatem ad ata el haminucha ve'el hanachala. Now the easiest way to understand, perhaps the simplest pshat, and there are certainly mefarshim, and even in the Midrash, there are midrashim which understand this pasuk as meaning the following. Until now you have not entered the land, right? Nachala, right, the inheritance, right, that's the land that you are going to inherit, right? In fact, in the next pasuk Yud, right, it says, Va'avartem et ha'yarden v'yashavtem ba'aretz asher Hashem Elohechem manchil etchem, right? Manchil from the same word as nachala, right? You are going to cross the Yarden and go into the land that Hashem is inheriting to you. Right, so the Nachala is Eretz Yisrael, and Minucha also, right, that could also be that you have not yet come to Eretz Yisrael, the place that you're going to rest in, the place you're going to settle down in. And indeed, there are places in Tanakh where the word Minucha does refer to Eretz Yisrael, right? Two quick examples. In Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph, it says, sorry, that's Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamid Gimel, Vayisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shaloshet Yamim, Va'aron Berit Hashem Nosea Lifnehem Derech Shaloshet Yamim Latur Lahem Minucha. Right? That, at this point, this is prior to the Chet HaMeraglim, right, the sin of the spies. They still thought they were going straight into Eretz Yisrael. They traveled for 3 days with the Aron, right, the Ark of the Law in front of them, Latur Lahem Minucha, to search out for themselves a Minucha, a place to settle down in. Right, that again referring to right, the ultimate destination that they've been waiting for, Eretz Yisrael. Another example in Tehillim, Perek Tzadihei, which we say during Kabbalat Shabbat, Arba'im Shana Akut Bedor, Omar Am Toel Levavhem, Vehem Lo Yadu Derechai. Right, Hashem is bemoaning the fact that Am Yisrael is sinning, is not following Hashem's ways. Asher Nishpati Be'api. Right, I swore in my anger, Im Yevoun El Minuchati. Right, that they would not come to Minuchati, my place of settling them down, right? Meaning to Eretz Yisrael. Right, so two quick examples that Minucha, right, could simply just mean you have not yet come to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore this law has not yet been in place. The Gemara suggests a different understanding. These ideas appear in different places. I'm going to be reading it from the Gemara Masechet Zvachim in Daf Kuf Yutet Amud Aleph. Again, the context of this Gemara is talking about the Mishkan and this Heter HaBamot, right? Whether or not they were allowed to bring korbanot in other places or not. This particular context and the halachic implications of the various opinions, which I'm going to show you right now, is not really relevant to our shiur, so I'm not going to go into all the details of that. What I want to look at, though, is four different opinions as to what these words, minucha and achala, are referring to. So it says, Tana Rabbanan, ki lo vatem adata ela minucha ve'ela nachala, right, that's the quote of that same pasuk, minucha zo shilo, nachala zo Yerushalayim. Right? So this first opinion says that when it says lo vatem adata ela minucha vel nachala, that minucha means Shilo being one of the places where the Mishkan dwelled in Eretz Yisrael, meaning after they had crossed over the Yarden and were in Eretz Yisrael, but the Beit HaMikdash had not yet been built, the Mishkan still existed, and it was in a number of different places, one of them being Shiloh. You had not yet arrived at Minucha, meaning Shiloh, and Nachala, meaning Yerushalayim. Meaning that those two places had not yet, they had not yet arrived at those two places, and therefore the laws of having to bring the Korbanot only in one place had not yet been established. Interesting to point out, again, without going into it in depth at the moment, that obviously Yerushalayim was considered Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place that Hashem chooses for His name to be, meaning the place where the Beit HaMikdash will be built. Right, that's a known idea. But Shiloh, right, according to this Gemara, was also of a different status than the other places where the Mishkan had dwelled. And this probably also has to do with the fact that it was a relatively stable place. It was there for a long time. It seems that it was very established as the place of the Mishkan, right? And so while, at least according to some opinions, it was not, in terms of the halachot being mentioned here, the halachot of the korbanot, and where you can bring them, according to some, it may have had the same status as Yerushalayim, according to others not. But nevertheless, we see that it did have a certain status. So again, Minucha is Shiloh and Nachala is Yerushalayim. The Gemara continues. Ve'omer, haitali nachalati ke'arye vayar. Ve'omer, ha'ayit tzavua nachalati li ha'ayit saviv aleha. Right? So basically, two psukim are brought here. Right? You might notice that the word Nachala appears in both of the quotes. And these are two quotes that are being brought. Two psukim, which are talking, right, if you look in the context, the original context, are talking about Yerushalayim, where Yerushalayim is referred to as Nachala, Nachalat Hashem, right? So that Nachala, Zu Yerushalayim, right, these two psukim are being brought to prove the fact that when it says Nachala, it means Yerushalayim. And all of this is Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the opinion that Menucha means Shiloh and Nachala means Yerushalayim. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Menucha zu Yerushalayim, Nachala zu Shiloh. Right? So this is the opposite. Rabbi Shimon says the opposite, that when it says El HaMenucha ve'El HaNachala, that Menucha is referring to Yerushalayim and Nachala is referring to Shiloh. And here also a pasuk is brought. Ve'omer, zot menuchati adei ad, po eshev ki ivitiha. Right? Where the word menucha is referred to as the menucha of Hashem. Right? This is the place that the Hashem will dwell, his menucha. Right? Ve'omer ki bachar Hashem b'tzion ivala moshav lo. Right? So that second pasuk is coming to prove that the first pasuk is talking about Yerushalayim, right? Bachar Hashem b'tzion. In other words, so that when he says menuchati, right, that the second pasuk, which is the pasuk which comes before the other pasuk that is quoted in the Mizmor Tehillim, Mizmor Kuflamid Bet, right, we see that the menucha that is being referred to is tzion, right? So once again, we have pasukim proving this time that menucha it refers to Yerushalayim, as opposed to the first pasukim that come to prove that nachala is referring to Yerushalayim. And then the Gemara goes on to ask a question. Well, the Gemara says, we understand the first opinion, which says that Menucha, the first word in the Pasuk is Shiloh, and then Nechala is Yerushalayim. But why would Yerushalayim, the Gemara asks, be mentioned first? If Menucha is referring to Yerushalayim, and then Shiloh is Nechala, right? Why that order seems wrong, right? It should be first Shiloh, which came first, and then Yerushalayim. And the Gemara answers, because if according to that opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, you would understand the Pasuk as follows. That you had not yet reached Yerushalayim, and you had not yet even reached Shiloh. So in other words, they're not too bothered by the ordering of the Pasuk. It's acceptable either way. Right, so far we have two opinions, right, about these words Nachala and Menucha. One which says that Menucha means Shiloh and Nachala means Yerushalayim, and the other opinion says the opposite, that Menucha means Yerushalayim and Nachala means Shiloh. Then the Gemara goes on and brings two more opinions. Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, right? It is said from the house of Yishmael, of Rabbi Yishmael, Zo v'zo Shiloh. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai omer, Zo v'zo Yerushalayim. Right? So according to these two opinions, the opinions of Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, both of the words refer to one of these places, right? Either that both of them, Menucha and Nachala, refer to Shiloh, or both refer to Yerushalayim. And then the Gemara goes on to ask, Bishlama lemanda amar Menucha zo Shiloh, Nachala zo Yerushalayim, inami ipcha, hainu dichtiv, ela Menucha ve'ela Nachala. We can understand, the Gemara says, right, that according to either of the opinions that says that one of the words means Shiloh and one of them means Yerushalayim, why it says both, right? Because for whatever reason, both is needed in terms of understanding the Pasuk. Ela lemanda amar zo v'zo Shiloh o zo v'zo Yerushalayim, menucha v'nachala mibayle. Right, for the opinions that say that both of the words are referring either to Shiloh or to Yerushalayim, why does the pasuk say El haMinucha veEl haNachala? Right, referring as if it's referring to two different things. Right, it should have at the very least said El haMinucha veHaNachala without the extra emphasis of El, which seems to mean that we're referring to two separate things here. So now the Gemara tries to explain why, even if we're talking about one of the places, Shiloh or Yerushalayim, that there are two different things within those places that are being referred to. So the Gemara says, first of all, the Gemara says Kashya, right? This is indeed a difficulty. Bishlama lemanda amar zo v'zo Shiloh, minucha de nachu mikibush, nachala zu de Diflagu ha'atam nechalot. Dichti ve'chalek lehem Yeshua ve'yapel lehem goral b'shiloh al pi Hashem. Right, so according to the opinion that says that both of the words are referring to Shiloh, okay, so this makes sense. Because menucha, that they rest, means that they rested from the conquering, right? So that makes sense. Nachala, right? That refers to the breaking up the country into different nachalot, into the different portions for the different shvatim. Right, as it says in the pasuk from Yehoshua, "Vayechalek lehem Yehoshua vayapel lehem goral b'shilo." Right, that happened, the breaking up of the nachalot into the different portions, that occurred in the city of Shiloh. Right, so minucha and nachala both make sense in terms of Shiloh. Ela leman de amar zo vizo Yerushalayim bishlema bishlema nachala nachalat olamim. So we can understand nachala, why? Because Yerushalayim is nachala olamim. It is the eternal portion, right, of Hashem. Ela minucha, my minucha, right? Well, what's the minucha that's connected to Yerushalayim? Right now it's an interesting question, because as we'll see later on, the word minucha is associated also with Yerushalayim in various sources. But yet the Gemara is asking, okay, so nachala, we can understand, what's the connection with minucha? Minucha at Aron, right? The resting place of the Aron, of the Holy Ark, dichtiv, vahi kenoach Aron. Right? That Yerushalayim was the final place that the Aron rested. Okay, and then the Gemara goes on to ask more questions, right? But for our purposes, we're going to stop here. Now, what I'd like to do with these various sources is to try to understand what are these psukim, what are these associations of these words with Yerushalayim tell us? This pasuk, which refers to El HaMenucha ve'El HaNachala, right? This is talking about Yerushalayim in its most central sense, meaning this is where the Torah is referring to Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, that place which Hashem will eventually, choose for His name to dwell, for the Beit HaMikdash to be built. Right, throughout the Torah, Yerushalayim is never mentioned by name as the place that Hashem is going to choose. Right, but here it is mentioned in its essence. Right, whatever Minucha Nachala is. If indeed, as the Gemara is implying, it's referring to these dwelling places of Hashem, it's talking about these places in their essence. It's talking about them in the terms for which the places were chosen, right? And so, essentially, the question that we're addressing when we look at these psukim is, why was Yerushalayim chosen according to this Gemara's understanding of the pasuk from Sefer Devarim? So let's take a look back at the different ideas that are brought up in these psukim. Okay, the first thing that's interesting to look at is, right, we have these two words, minucha and nachala, right, which are associated with, you know, either Shiloh or Yerushalayim or both of them. But it's interesting to see that these associations are not necessarily the same with each of these places, despite that the fact that their roles, the roles of Shiloh and Yerushalayim were, you know, when it comes down to it, fairly similar. Right? When we're talking about Shiloh, right, according to the opinions that Menucha and Nachala are Shiloh, what are the ideas that come up? Well, as we mentioned already, when we're talking about Nachala, we're talking about the chalukha of the land into Nachalot, the division of the land into the Nachalot, the different portions, the different areas that the Shvatim would get. On the other hand, when we're talking about Yerushalayim and what Nachala means in the context of Yerushalayim, there, it talks about Nachala as Nachalat Hashem. Right, so in the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, right, Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Chet, Pasuk Zayin, when the word Nachala is used, Hashem is saying, Azavti et Beiti, Natashti et Nachalati, I have left my house, I have abandoned my Nachala, my portion, right? Beiti referring to Beit HaMikdash, portion referring to Yerushalayim, right? So the Nachala is talking about Hashem's Nachala, which He has abandoned, right? Yerushalayim is Hashem's Nachala, right? So this is a very different meaning than the meaning of Nachala that is brought in connection with Shiloh, right? In a sense, I suppose, Shiloh was Hashem's portion. Hashem's Mishkan was there. Hashem's Shekhinah was there in some sense, at least the Aron was there, at least for a while. But according to the psukim that are brought here, the perception of the role of the place is very different, right? Shiloh had a very functional role. It was the place where the land was divided, right, into nachalot of Am Yisrael, right? But it is not, according to these psukim that are brought, referred to as the nachala, the capital T, nachala, capital N, of Hashem. So too with the word minucha. The pasuk that is the idea that is mentioned in connection with Shiloh is that it was the place that they rested after fighting the kibush, right? Fighting the wars during which they conquered the land, right? And so it was a resting place, again, for Am Yisrael. That was where they were able to settle down or have the Mishkan settle down when they were done fighting, conquering the land. But Menucha, when connected to Yerushalayim, is again referring to the resting place of Hashem. Zot menuchati adead po eshev ki ivitiha. Right? Now, I point this out, even though, as I mentioned earlier quickly, menucha is also connected in the sense of a resting place from battles, also when it comes to Yerushalayim. So that, for example, right, we all know the idea that it was Shlomo HaMelech who built the Beit HaMikdash, and the reason he was the one who built the Beit HaMikdash was because he was the man of peace. He was the king who did not have to fight any wars, as opposed to his father David, who had to fight many, many battles, and because of that, we read in Divrei HaYamim, David was not granted permission to build the Beit HaMikdash. It was Shlomo HaMelech who had to do it. Right. So there's this idea of peace during the time of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and this idea comes up in other places as well, right? Even more specifically in terms of the word menucha, right? In Divrei HaYamim Aleph, Perek Kaf Bet Pasuk Tet, it says regarding Shlomo, Hinei ben nolad lach, hu yiyeh ish menucha, vehanichoti lo mikol oivav misaviv, ki Shlomo yiyeh shemo, v'shalom v'sheket eten al Yisrael b'yamav. Right? This pasuk where David is told that his son, Shlomo, would build the Beit HaMikdash, right? They play with the word Shlomo, Shalom, right? And Sheket, right? And he will have the peace during his time, and he's referred to as an Ish Menucha, right? And this connection with Menucha is highlighted also later on in Divrei HaYamim Aleph, in Perek Kafchet, Pasuk Bet, where it says, Vayakom David HaMelech al Raglav, Vayomer Shema'uni Achai Va'ami, Ani im Levavi Livnot Beit Menucha, La'aron Brit Hashem. Right? So, here though, we see a different idea, right? This is more similar to what the Gemara says later on, right? That when David actually builds the Beit HaMikdash, right, he doesn't refer to the idea of the menucha of the lack of war during the time of building the Beit HaMikdash. Rather, that the Beit HaMikdash is a makom menucha of the Aron. Right, and if you think about, right, so it's not connected to this idea of menucha being peace, but it's a makom menucha of Aron Brit Hashem. And if you think about, right, the history of the Mishkan, of the Aron, until the building of the Beit HaMikdash, right, that is a significant role of the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Right, at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, which comes in the middle of the history of the Beit of the Aron and of the Mishkan, the Mishkan is in Shiloh, right? The Mishkan in Shiloh is corrupt. The Aron is taken away by the Plishtim, right? And the rest of the story until the building of the Beit HaMikdash is basically the return of the Aron to its proper location. You know, first, so after it's taken by the Plishtim, it first goes to Beit Shemesh, where they don't treat it properly, so it ends up staying in Kiryat Ya'arim for a long time, and then eventually David brings it to Yerushalayim, but there still is no Beit HaMikdash, and he sets up some sort of ohel for it there. The Mishkan in Nov and the Mishkan in Givon, which is during this time period, right, is a Mishkan without an Aron. The Aron is elsewhere, right, even though there's a Mishkan. And only when the Beit HaMikdash is built by Shlomo HaMelech is the Aron finally put in its proper location in the Beit HaMikdash, right, meaning the replacement of the Mishkan, permanently, right? So when the Gemara says that the Yerushalayim is the Menucha for the Aron, right? So that's saying a very significant role of the city of Yerushalayim, right? So we see in these psukim two very significant understandings of what Yerushalayim is all about. If Shiloh's role was functional and somewhat B'nai Israel oriented, right? It was the place of the dividing of the Nachalot of Israel. It was the place where they were able to have a Mishkan after they fought their battles. It was a Makom Menucha for them. Yerushalayim is the Makom Nachala of Hashem. It is the place where Hashem has chosen to permanently dwell himself, right, so long as B'nai Israel are behaving themselves. And it is the final resting place of the Aron, right, which of course is also a very important symbol of the fact that it's the Makom Nachala of Hashem. So through these psukim that we see in the Gemara, right, and again, all of these opinions have ramifications in terms of understanding the specific halachot that being understood. But in terms of purely understanding the significance of Yerushalayim, the choice of psukim is very significant and teaches us something about the importance of Yerushalayim, why Yerushalayim was chosen, why it was ultimately Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, and what were the key central things that make Yerushalayim special.